You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but that's not it. Make a $50 or more first-time deposit and you will get a free CHGO membership that unlocks all of our great web content, access to our Discord page, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker like the one I'm wearing right here. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. I'm Jay Zawoski. We got Greg Boyson and Mario Cherubasi here in our West Loop studios. And fellas, today marks our first of our weekly evaluation shows. We're going to get to the Jones brothers, Caleb and Seth, today. But as we're getting ready for the show this morning, the first Jonathan Toews speculation of the offseason drops. Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast talking about the potential retirement of Patrice Bergeron and if Jonathan Toews might be an option in Boston. We've got that audio from the podcast. Once again, this is the 32 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman.
The Boston Bruins, the entire conversation revolves around Patrice Bergeron and his future, his decision, the hugs of the teammates, thanking the referees, Brad Marchand, using quotes like unknown for next year with him. So let's get ahead of ourselves then. If he decides to retire, to call it a career, you know, there's still Pasternak and Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm. And so it's not as if Patrice Bergeron leaves and all of a sudden the Boston Bruins are a lottery team, but there's a big hole there. I've wondered previous about, you know, Jonathan Toews is in his last year with Chicago. Jonathan Toews is going to call his shot, what he wants to do. I've always wondered, and I think I've mentioned on this podcast, I've certainly mentioned on the radio show, I wonder if that could be a fit to replace someone like Patrice Bergeron. You know, Toews could just go and wouldn't have to worry about taking care of the kids and, you know, like shepherding these young players or carrying the franchise. He could just go and play hockey. Mind you, he'd be going to a really big spot, you know, taking Patrice Bergeron's spot. But nonetheless, if Bergeron decides to wrap it up, does that affect the direction of the Boston Bruins at all?
I think it does because you need another center, obviously. But the thing about them is I don't think their cap situation is too bad. Like, I think they have some flexibility there. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there will be more if Bergeron isn't signed there, although I'm sure they'd prefer to have him. They have the ability to do some things. And if you look at them, they generally tend to be pretty aggressive.
So there you have it. Now, let's be clear. This is not a rumor. This is nothing sourced. This is nothing that seems to be imminent.
Not a report. More of speculation.
More speculation than anything. But what stood out to me is the fact that it's May 18th and we've got our first Jonathan Toews speculation happening. And look, if this was Joe Schmo's Boston Bruins blog, I would wave it off a little bit. But this is Jeff Merrick. This is Elliot Friedman, two of the most respected hockey journalists out there. Friedman is one of the most plugged in insiders in the NHL. And again, this was Merrick's opinion more than anything, but to me, it's interesting that these guys think there would be significant interest from a team that's looking to win in Jonathan Toews. I don't think the league has given up on Jonathan Toews quite like I think some Hawks fans have.
No, absolutely not. I think the one of the biggest things in the conversation about Jonathan Toews is his current contract. And I think what the league, around the league, what people would care about is, well, that current contract won't affect us if he were to come to, you know, Boston or what have you. It would be, you know, a discounted contract in a trade or a completely new number, not $10.5 million, if he were to hit free agency or whatever it is. So I think around the league, the thought process is not Toews on his current cap hit is what we're bringing in. And they mentioned it between American Friedman about, you know, Boston's potential cap situation going into next season if Bergeron's not on the team. They do have some flexibility, but it's not $10.5 million worth of flexibility.
Cam Friendly says 2.383 is projected at this point right now.
Exactly. And they don't really have a lot of contracts or players that need contract that are going to make big dents in that current space. So it is interesting to think about what that could look like. And you look at the center depth Boston has without Patrice Bergeron, and it's a bit concerning. In two back-to-back seasons, the potential of losing both David Krejci and Patrice Bergeron, that's a big hit to the Bruins, who have had, you know, a long stretch of time where they've been contenders. And now they're getting to a point where Marchand's getting a little older. Not that his game is dropping off at all, but, you know, he's getting a little older. David Pastrnak's still there. They mentioned all the guys that are still there. Mm-hmm. Their window is still open. But without Patrice Bergeron, it shuts a little bit. So, and they're going to be a team that would want to continue that stretch of like, no, we want to be contenders. Like, that's the Bruins' way. They want to be in it. So it would be interesting to see if they'd be in that market.
There was a day that you could pretty much plug and play Jonathan Toews and Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
There was a day where you could be like, well, you know, they're kind of the same dude. That day, new. Yeah, not anymore.
Those days are over.
Going from Patrice Bergeron, even at this point of his career, to Jonathan Toews at this point of career, that's a big drop off.
How many players are pondering retirement and are finalists for right. NHL, yes, awards, seriously. Right? You know,
I mean, Patrice Bergeron is the exception to the rule. He's a guy that hasn't had that decline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, a little bit, but
nothing crazy though.
But not what you normally would see for a guy that's done what he's done,
mm-hmm,
and absolutely played the way he's played his entire career.
He probably would have had a spot or at least serious consideration with Team Canada for the Olympics had they gone.
Yeah,
I mean, he's still that kind of player.
He's still one of the best centers, two-way centers in the game. Jonathan Toews was. Maybe Jonathan Toews getting in a situation where he's playing with better players, and now, hey, I'm happy because we're going to win. I don't have to worry about this unknown word rebuild that I still haven't Googled. Maybe that gets him to play better.
Yeah.
Maybe that gets him going.
Sure.
But...
Well, I think, too, Merrick's point of he's not going to have to worry about being a captain. He's not going to have to worry about leading these kids along and being a happy camper. He's just going to be another player on the Bruins, which takes a lot of that weight off his shoulders. Yeah. All the stuff that he's kind of bitched about over the last year has been that, like, I don't want to be here and lose. I don't know how to lead a rebuild. I don't want to lead a rebuild, all that sort of stuff. If he goes to Boston, he's just another cog in that wheel, and they remain contenders. And I do think, if we kind of zoom out and take a look at the season as a whole, and we'll get to Jonathan Toews' evaluation at one of these Wednesdays, towards the end of the year, the arrow was pointed up, right?
Yeah.
And we've got to remember, he took a whole year off. He was dealing with fatigue issues, whatever the cause of them was, that was the issue. It's not like he was able to just start back to being 100% Jonathan Toews. He mentioned that missing that time with the concussion might have been a good thing for him, because it allowed him to kind of recover a little bit and get his game back, and he did. He was Jonathan Toews was at his best towards the end of this season. So I don't think it's out of the complete realm of possibility that he might have a bit of a bounce back year next season with a full, healthy offseason to get ready to train fully, to be ready to go day one. And look, here's the hope. And look, when he had his 1,000th game, we all celebrated Jonathan Toews. We all love Jonathan Toews. The qualifier is there, right? We might have to put it in every podcast description from here on out. But if you can move that contract and get anything for it without having to give up a prospect or a decent pick,
you
had to do with Bickle, with Teuvo Teravainen, and on and on and on. If Boston says, hey, we'll give you a 4th-round pick for Jonathan Toews at half the salary, done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Solves a lot of issues.
Right, and that could be any team in the league with the cap space to take him on. And you look at those borderline playoff teams, or like even a team that is in the playoffs that maybe fell a little bit short, that feels they could use a boost of leadership and center depth. If Toews is your 2 or 3 center and you're a cup contender, that's still really effing good. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a lot better than him being your 2 or 3 center on a team that's in the lottery.
Right.
It's better situation.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm the Bruins, I don't know if Bergeron retires. And I'm the Bruins. That might be my sign from the universe that it's time to go young. And maybe you say, this was a great run. It's not their style, per se, but... You know, maybe I say, okay, Patrice is gone. He's the heart and soul of this team. What can I get for Brad Marchand?
Brad Marchand, for the record, 3 years left at 6.125. He is currently 34. So that deal will end when he's 37. Mm-hmm. I think he's got some good hockey left.
But definitely. But, like, say he has Dylan Strome syndrome and only plays good when he's with Patrice Bergeron. We don't know.
Yeah.
And then those numbers take a dip. This might be the summer to move him if you're Boston.
Well, that's what a competent GM would do. And you don't say, oh, let's try to squeeze as much as we can out of Brad Marchand. You trade him while he has value. And, yeah, maybe it hurts your team in the short term, but it keeps you going. Because you're still going to get a decent package for him.
You still got Pastrnak. You've got some young players in the system. You've got a really good young goalie. So it's not like they're going to completely tear it down and start from scratch. Yeah,
Pastrnak's 25.
So, yeah, you get something for Marchand, and then you take the money that you're saving with Bergeron and Marchand not on the book anymore.
Taylor Hall too.
Yeah, I mean
$6 million a year, age 30. Taylor Hall, you can move that.
Yeah, those are known quantities. Those are guys that. That, you know, you can't tell me the Minnesota, well, they don't have any salary cap, but a team like the Minnesota Wild wouldn't love a Brad
Theoretically,
Marchand.
Right.
Or, you know, a team like the Edmonton Oilers wouldn't take one of those guys. Or take Taylor Hall back, I'm sure.
Or do they look at it and say, look, a bounce back year at a half price Jonathan Toews might be worth making another shot at it. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting, but I just think whatever happens, even if – This is nothing and there's nothing to it, which could very well be the case. The fact that the rumors are already out there, the speculation's already out there that there might be a contender interested in Toews is interesting to me. And it's something we're going to keep aside from the head coaching hire, I think Jonathan Toews' future is the biggest story of the offseason.
Yeah.
I really do.
Him and Kane, and those are two players who this summer – whatever direction they go will take the Blackhawks with them in one way or another, whether they're here or they're not, or they, you know, they say, oh, we'll figure it out next summer. And they're just kind of like on the roster, but not really have a direction next year. I think that's probably not the best case scenario. I think figuring out what they want to do this summer would be in the best interest of both themselves and of Kyle Davidson and the team as they get into the rebuild. But yeah, other than finding a coach, what those two want to do is going to be one of the biggest dominoes to fall.
I'm a little more comfortable waiting to figure out Patrick Kane, starting the season with him, seeing what value he could garner at the deadline. Mm-hmm. Toews, I think if you can find someone to relieve you of that deal, and look, I think if we're talking about who wants to be here more, I think it's pretty clear Patrick Kane is more willing to put up with what is happening with the Hawks than Jonathan Toews is.
It seems like it.
I think Patrick Kane is looking at what he's accomplished in his career. He knows he's in the Hall of Fame. He knows he's probably going to have his number retired. He'll probably have a statue outside the United Center. I think the last thing for him to achieve career-wise is becoming the Blackhawks' all-time leading scorer. which is in reach. It's not going to happen next year. He'd have to probably sign at least a two-year more deal
right.
to do it. But that is certainly attainable for Patrick Kane. So what's more important to him? The shot to go win a Stanley Cup somewhere else, another Stanley Cup? Or does he want to become and does he want to pass Stan Mikita as the all-time leading Blackhawks scorer? I don't know. That's kind of the question I have to answer. But if that's what he wants, he can certainly get it. He is certainly capable of catching Stan Mikita. I'm going to look up here real quick the points difference, but 3 more years of Patrick Kane, I think he can easily pass Stan
He'd
Mikita.
Have to stay at a pace that he's at right now.
Right.
But I mean there's nothing that has really indicated that he wouldn't be able to do that other than the fact that he will age. But right now, looking at, you know, how he's played the last few seasons, especially this year on a, you know, under-talented team at 34 years old, you know, putting up his third best statistical season that he's ever had, like there's really no indication that he's going to slow down or that drop off is going to be very steep. So yeah, I think 3 years, 3.5 seasons, he probably could do it.
Patrick Kane is 287 points behind Stan Mikita.
So 3 really good seasons would do it.
This year he had 92 points.
Yeah. 3 times 90 is 270. So
yeah, so it's right there.
3.5 seasons, yeah. I'd say at this point. He could, he could very well do it.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference between the two when it comes to Kyle Davidson pulling a trigger on a trade potentially this summer is going to be what the offers are.
Yeah.
I think any deal for Jonathan Toews where you only have to retain half the salary and you don't have to give up a pick or a prospect to go back, you take.
Agree. Immediately.
Yes.
don't let the guy change his mind.
But for Kane, I think you got to get full value there.
Yeah. Because
there's still tremendous value for him. But I think you got to, you know, see what the offers are. If someone blows you away with an offer, i.e. Brendan Hagel, then you take it. But if you're not, don't trade Patrick Kane just to trade Patrick Kane.
Agree.
There's still a lot of very good hockey left in Patrick Kane. Jonathan Toews, trade Jonathan Toews just to trade Jonathan Toews. I'm okay with that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't want us to think that we crap on Jonathan Toews 24/7 podcast. He's one of my favorite players of all time, the greatest captain in team history. But we can't keep holding on to that, for crying out loud. Rebuild means rebuilding, and you don't hang on whiny old captains for rebuilds. You just don't.
Yeah. Dale in the chat says that he personally thinks Kane wants to stay and catch Mikita for that reason alone. It's interesting. I mean,
at least publicly, it has sounded way more that Patrick Kane is willing to stick around than Jonathan Toews, just by the way that they've talked about what the future could hold. Behind closed doors, Patrick Kane could be just as, you know, thinking about getting out the door as Jonathan Toews is. We don't really know those discussions, but the way that he has carried himself, it seems like that if the right pieces are in play, he's not going to stick around just for the fact that he wants to potentially catch and pass Mikita. If the rebuilding pieces that he would want to see or would want to play with aren't there, he probably would say, you know, I don't want to stick around for this if it's not looking like something I want to be a part of. But if he buys into the plan, which it sounds like Kyle Davidson, he's not really going to sell the plan to Patrick Kane to his standards. He's going to sell the plan to Patrick Kane as this is the plan we're going to take it or leave it. If he's on board with that, then that's all the better. I think that's the biggest caveat is does the plan match what they want to do? Because they're not going to. It doesn't sound like Davidson will change the plan to accommodate anybody. They're just going to have the plan.
I think moving one or both of them also accelerates the plan a little bit, especially Kane. Because if you're moving Kane, you're getting probably multiple first back.
You're getting first round value, whether it's prospects or picks, for sure.
Yeah. If you got 2 first round picks for Brendan Hagel, I mean, you got to get at least that for Patrick Kane.
Mm-hmm. Now the contract changes it a little bit because he's unrestricted after this year, makes $10.5 million. So Hagel was signed. Yeah, was signed a 3-year deal.
3 years at one and a half
years after this.
It a very affordable deal. So that added to the return a little bit.
A team that's going to trade for Patrick Kane this summer is a team that is going to is main goal is winning the 2023 Stanley Cup, and that is it.
And remember,
they're not thinking beyond that.
And remember, too, it's very likely that if a team does trade for Patrick Kane, they're going to get him at half price. The Hawks will eat half the deal to sweeten the deal.
And that
will be $5.25 million for whichever. And
if you're the
5.25 for Patrick Kane,
if you're the New York Rangers,
yeah,
I'll just use them as an example. That's a team a lot of people think he'd want to go to. They would want him. Reunite him with Panera.
Greg, he's only going to the Sabres because that's where he's from. We've established.
Does Ryan Miller have a little brother we can get back? Because Ryan Miller doesn't play hockey anymore, and that was the only guy we were going to get for him.
God, speaking of that, like
just own power for Patrick Kane. Now, that's a trade.
Yeah. There you go.
But just watching all the playoff games and feeling really old as you see Cal Foots out there and Manson's is out there. Like all these guys' dads I watch play, I'm like, really?
You want to feel even older is go to an AHL game and sit in the press box with the guys you grew up rooting for as old men, as scouts.
Yeah.
That makes like seriously, I sat next to Dirk Graham for 2/3 of a hockey game in Rockford before I realized it was Dirk Graham. And that was like my favorite player of all time. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
That's me when I was perusing Hawks games, getting to talk to Troy Murray.
Yeah.
He was like my first favorite non-superstar, you know, like the original 19.
Yeah.
And I actually have like a friendship with Troy, which is crazy. I
believe the original 19 is Kurt Frazier, though, by the way.
For me, the original 19 is Troy Murray. There you go. Anyway, it's fun. You know, I love that the cool AC? Is it the opposite of the hot stove in the summer?
Yeah, there you go.
What is the hockey equivalent of hot stove?
Zamboni droppings.
There you go.
By the way, Mike says we crap on Jonathan Toews 24/7 and is already taken as the name of his podcast.
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. Sorry, Mike.
Sorry, buddy.
Well, we just gave you a free plug. You're welcome.
There you go. Subscribe to Mike's We Crap on Jonathan Toews 24/7 podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple Pods, just like you do here. Subscribe to ours and subscribe to his.
This is where we need that toilet flushing sound effect.
It sounds fantastic. And I'm in. And hey, maybe the We Crap on Jonathan Toews 24/7 podcast can join us here as part of CHGO. But the best way, aside from adding that fantastic podcast, to support us is to download that PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you're going to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not all. Make a $50 or more first-time deposit, and you're going to get a free CHGO membership. That unlocks all of our great web content, and you're even going to get a free CHGO shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. That's 2 G's and free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free T-shirt from the CHGO locker. All that for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting, and guess what? It just got even better. Introducing PointsBet's new feature, live NBA same game parlay. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA same game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game, and you can also boost your live same game parlays. Watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. And now, online sign up is available in Illinois. Get your phone out, go to your app store on the Google Store or iOS Store. Search for PointsBet, download it, sign up from start to finish. That's where you enter that code CHGO. Start to finish, you don't have to move from your couch. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Speaking of Hall of Fame hockey players, Jaromír Jágr's in our chat room.
He is.
Yeah, he likes
just like Jeremy Cowan's in our brackets.
Yes, he likes you without the glasses. So
I got new contacts yesterday.
So when one of the goats says he likes you without glasses, you pay attention, man.
Thanks, Jags.
That's game recognizing game, I believe is the term.
You just said he loved being a cog in the wheel in Boston.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I forgot that he was in Boston.
2013 Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you on the show sometime.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Bring some of your never mind. I'm gonna stop right there.
I'm curious.
No, off the air.
All right, good. I forgot he was on the Flames. That's the one I forgot.
That was his last stop. Right, yeah.
That was after the Panthers stop. But
it'd be easier to say what teams he didn't play.
Seriously. Point,
I love the traveling Jágrs, the guys that would go with all their jerseys.
They
got to
make more friends.
Yeah. But my favorite Jaromír Jágr memory while we're doing this, 2013 Stanley Cup final, I had press credentials when I was working for SB Nation, and it was the game one, that triple overtime game, the shin pad game. I walked downstairs to go to press, and there is a 40-year-old Jaromir Jagr at the time, ish, over 40, whatever he was, just played a triple overtime Stanley Cup final game, and he's in the hallway riding the stationary bike.
Of course he was.
I was like, Jesus Christ, this man is a robot.
It's incredible that he's about to turn 50, and he's still putting in time playing professional hockey. Like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, good for him.
And that, I always play this game from time to time, and just think about if he didn't have,
he spent what, how many years away from the NHL?
Right. If he like in like the extended prime of his career, he had like four seasons where he was just went and played in Europe. And I'm just like, had he not done that, I did the math one time. Had he stayed at like the pace he was having at that time, I think he would be like within a few hundred points of like Gretzky.
Yeah.
It's
he
crazy.
He was one of those guys that as a kid I hated because of that 92 Penguins team.
Right, yeah, that was tough.
But as his career went on, I became a huge fan of his. Mm-hmm. All right, we've just had our Jaromir.
Apparently, he must drink Strava.
I was going to say, apparently Strava is his secret.
Absolutely. It has to be.
Because, Strava, it does help you get a competitive edge because Strava CBD coffee is a game changer, and it's helped thousands of people, including Jaromir Jagr, allegedly, improve their overall wellness and quality of life. If you still want to score goals in your 50s, get yourself some Strava. It delivers delicious, fresh-roasted specialty coffee infused with organic, broad-spectrum CBD. CBD from hemp doesn't make you high or hungry, but it does offer you some real benefits that can help you out, like feeling more alert and focused without the jitters. You can live your day more balanced with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains. Yes, please. Plus, including CBD in your daily routine can even help you enjoy more restful sleep so you wake up feeling your best. And the best part, Strava is all about quality. Everything is small batch, fresh, shipped straight to your door. It's delicious coffee that comes with all the benefits of CBD. You can pick your favorite flavor. You can pick your concentration level. Whatever you want to do, Strava will make it happen for you. And you're able to save 25% off your entire purchase just by using the promo code CHGO25 at checkout. That's 25% off your entire order at StravaCraftCoffee.com when you use CHGO25 at checkout. And if you already love Strava, and by now you should, there's no excuse. You can subscribe and save with the Strava Coffee Club. With Strava, they put you in control. You can save on all your favorite coffees and have them automatically delivered where and when you want at your convenience. It doesn't get any easier than that.
No, sounds very easy. So good.
That's as easy as Jaromir Jagr scoring a goal on a Blackhawks goaltender.
Too easy. It's too easy. All right, so as the offseason grinds on here, for the Blackhawks anyway, the playoffs are well underway. Every Wednesday, we're going to do a pair of player evaluations. Easy for me to say. Today, for our inaugural... Herb will get on me if I do this wrong, so I got to make sure I do it right. I think it's inaugural. Episode of Player Evals, we're going to focus on the Jones brothers, Seth and Caleb.
Oh, wait, we're not doing the Jonas brothers? Damn.
Joe.
Crap.
I had my Jonas brothers t-shirt, tour
Joe,
shirt on
Nick,
here.
And...
Kevin?
Dimitri.
Is it Kevin? That was a guess.
We have to have a segment with Joey called Ask a Youth.
We learned today, Joey, huge Jonas Brothers fan.
Huge
apparently.
Jonas Brothers fan. Never missed it.
I don't know,
about
that.
Show.
You're probably you know more about them than I.
That was my time though. They were on like the they had their backstage show on the Disney Channel when I was growing up. Like I definitely know some songs.
This is where it pays to have a young as a producer.
Yeah, we need you
got too many olds in front of the camera. We need the youngs behind the camira.
Yeah. And the old ass Jaromir Jagr in the chat.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, just to keep people listening, let's start with Caleb.
Yes. The reason everybody's
Let's
here
start
today.
With Caleb.
You guys want to explain really quick your system for grading?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this was the brainchild of, was it Greg or Mario who had the idea?
It was Greg's idea. Excuse
me. Greg's idea of instead of letter grades, we're going to assign feathers. So four feathers is an A, three feathers is a B, two feathers a C, one feather a D. You get the concept.
Right.
Feathers is an F.
No. Right. And half feathers are allowed. So that will be our grading system that we're going to use as our evaluations go on. So, all right.
Here's Caleb.
There's Caleb on your screen. You can see it. You can see our grades as well. And I think it's important to say, too, that if Caleb Jones gets 2.5 and Jonathan Toews gets 2.5, it doesn't mean they're similarly ranked players. We're grading on a curve here. Expectation versus realization, right? So
yeah.
I went with 2.5 feathers for Caleb Jones. Wasn't totally sure what to expect from Caleb Jones this year. We had seen glimpses of good and glimpses of bad in his very limited time in Edmonton before the Duncan Keith trade was made. Came over, and it was basically just kind of a full season of the same from him. I still don't know, after all this time, what the Blackhawks have in Caleb Jones. Whether or not he's an everyday NHL player, whether he's a 7 or 8 in an ideal situation, there's nothing that I see from him that scares me, but there's nothing I see from him that tells me he's going to be getting much better than he already is. I think the Caleb Jones we see, for the most part, of course, young players can get a little bit better, but I don't see where a major jump in play is coming from Caleb Jones.
Yeah. That's the same reason I gave him, you know, the 2 out of 4 is because I didn't have high expectations for him. I think coming out of Edmonton, what I had heard a lot about Caleb Jones was that he was just kind of buried in the system in Edmonton and didn't really have an opportunity to get a lot of minutes. So I thought coming to Chicago, he'd have a little bit more of that opportunity to do that. But it really didn't seem that he didn't do enough to grab a roster spot that said, oh, he's definitely needs to be in 70, 80 games this year.
Right.
But he also wasn't so bad that you're like, this guy does not have an NHL future. And I'm kind of in the same mindset of UJ, is that we didn't really find out much about him. And I think the Blackhawks go into next season with him probably in mind. It sounds like he wants to be back in Chicago. I don't think the Blackhawks are going to be in any worse of a position if he is back. So I wouldn't say having him back on another 1-year deal would be a bad thing. Maybe it proves what he is as a 7-8 defenseman. Maybe it gives him an opportunity to prove that he's more than that.
Yeah.
At the very least, what we learned is Caleb Jones is able to play NHL minutes. I just don't know if it can be consistent enough to be, yeah, he's in your top six rotation every night.
Just for the record, 51 games, 5 goals, 10 assists, -3, 18 penalty minutes, 1 power play point, 1 game winner, 1 overtime goal, 57 shots, 8.8 shooting percentage. So what you're describing is a very average defenseman.
Yeah.
But to your point, as we discuss what next year's Hawks are going to look like, and Kyle Davidson has sort of said, you can't just go all young. You can't just call up the Rockford IceHogs and say, go to it. Here's the rebuild. You need veteran-type players to fill those spots. I think giving him another contract is a no-brainer. It's not going to cost a lot. It's worth another look. It keeps Seth comfortable. Probably keeps Seth happy. Not that he'd be unhappy, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's a marketable thing to have two brothers playing on the same team. You know, you can go find somebody else, but he's right here. Why not give him one more year to see what you got with some extended ice time? Give him a little bit more of an opportunity. I would like to see him back at a fair deal. Mm-hmm. And I don't. There's nothing that makes me worry that he's going to receive or want any sort of overpayment here.
Yeah, I'm going to pretty much echo you guys. I gave him the 2 stars. Average.
2 feathers, Greg.
Feathers. I've still got postgame on the brain. It's my idea, and I can't even get the damn name right. 2 feathers. For my guy, Caleb, serviceable defenseman. I think his ceiling is 6th, 7th guy.
Yeah.
You know, he set career highs in games played, points, goals, assists. He averaged, his time on ice was 16:43, which was over a minute more than his career average. And as he got more playing time towards the end of the year, he improved.
I agree.
As he got paired with better guys and given more responsibility, he took that ball and he ran with it. Part of his problem this year was there was a lot of trying to get in a groove. He had the injury to start the season, and he got banged up a couple other times, and then he was part of that rotation at the end of the year where play a game, sit a game, play a game, sit a game. How, for a young guy trying to get a spot, it's so hard to really get into a groove when, you know, you're worried that the next mistake you make gets you off the ice for three games.
Right. Right.
So, but once he kind of got into Derek King's good graces and was given more ice time per game, a lot of that was out of necessity with Connor Murphy going down at the end of the year. You know, so you could do worse than bringing him back. You're going to have at least two spots open on that blue line next year. Calvin DeHaan's not going to be back.
Right.
Erik Gustafsson, for the love of God, better not be back. And then that's two spots.
You know what? I want to take a half feather away, because that injury is what caused the Hawks to go re-sign Erik Gustafsson. If Caleb Jones did
blame
not get
him.
Hurt.
Yes. There
you
go.
How dare you get injured?
Yes.
No, that. But that's it. Remember? Yeah, he got hurt early and they needed
him
a guy.
Him and Kalanick both missed. Slated to miss the first month to 2 months.
Yeah.
So it ended up being the move to make, I guess, in Stan Bowman's eyes to get Erik Gustafsson back. I don't know why it wasn't just, bring somebody up. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway,
remember they had ambitions of winning this year.
It's true.
And then they
tried.
So where does Erik Gustafsson fit into that?
The bad part. The bad part of that.
He fit into the result of trying to win and losing.
Yeah. So, I think, look, he is what he is. 6th, 7th defenseman at best on a good team.
Yeah.
I don't mind giving him another year to take a look.
Where the Blackhawks are at, there's no reason to just say discard him for nothing. You know, right. You could do worse. You could do better than Caleb Jones. You could do worse.
Oh, absolutely.
They have done worse.
Yeah.
They did worse
with Erik Gustafsson
almost on a nightly basis. So,
yeah.
Caleb is fine.
Right. And then plus, if you do have a young guy step up, he can sit.
Yeah,
he can be,
he's not going to impede the progress of any of these young defensemen coming up in Rockford.
Exactly.
He is not going to keep Ian Mitchell down. If Ian Mitchell's ready, Ian Mitchell will play. If Wyatt Kalnuck is ready, Wyatt Kalnuck will play. He's not going to impede their progress if he's on this team next year.
All right, let's move on to the Jones that matters, Seth Jones.
Everybody's favorite.
The big trade acquisition before the season, right before the draft. Played his first full year with the Hawks, 78 games, 5 goals, 46 assists, 51 points, minus 37, 28 penalty minutes, 19 power play points, 1 shorthanded point, 194 shots on goal, and a somehow, this is almost impossible, a 2.6% shooting percentage.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah.
That's hard. That's difficult.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he was third on the team in shots, I believe.
Yeah.
Behind DeBrincat and Kane. 2.6. I don't think that's sustainable either.
That's insane.
No.
I'm going to give Seth Jones 3 feathers, which is a B. Early in the season, he really struggled. There's no doubt about it. I think partly he was trying to live up to the deal a little bit, justify the contract, justify the trade, and was trying to do everything all the time. And in doing that, kind of was doing everything wrong. Really couldn't get out of his own way.
Mm-hmm.
Once he settled in, and kind of like once the season was lost, I'm not putting it on him in any way, shape, or form, he started to look like the Seth Jones you thought you were getting. I got to say, the shooting percentage being what it is, you need a power play goal from Seth Jones. Seth Jones needs to be a contributor on special teams to justify that contract. And yes, he had a lot of shot attempts. None of them went in, but you're not paid for attempts. You're paid for goals. You're paid for points. And he needs next season to produce more on the goal side. He's aware of that. He said as much at the end of the season. So I think he's getting the message from the Blackhawks brass. Like, hey man, we need you to be a bit more aggressive. Cause I think we did see him kind of defer sometimes, to Kane and some of the other like veteran guys on the team. Look, in a year, you're going to be the highest paid Blackhawk and you need to act like it. He needs to lead. And I think that he will be more comfortable in that role next season as he settled in and as the Blackhawks season isn't absolute chaos like it was when he got here to start. Because imagine he walks into that locker room and there's Jeremy Cowlett, and they start, what, 0-9-1? Like, it was just, his introduction to Chicago was catastrophic.
Right, yeah.
So hopefully with a calmer summer, a more qualified head coach, et cetera, we can see the Seth Jones we saw in Columbus and Nashville and see for a full season the guy the Hawks traded for.
Yeah, I went with 3.5 because I tried to take the deal and the contract out of it and just look at Seth Jones, the expectations I had for him coming in as a top-tier NHL defenseman, a guy who was going to be the number one defenseman for the Blackhawks, play in all scenarios, play on the power play, play the most minutes every night, and he was everything that I expected him to be. Obviously, the goal scoring and his production, you know, scoring on power plays and just scoring in general was not there. But I think, you know, for the fact that he came in and was that number one defenseman, was the best defenseman on the team, and for a majority of the season was reliable enough to, you know, say like when he's on the ice, good things could happen. That's what I went off of. I know it was the popular thing this year to lay a ton of the blame of the bad play the Blackhawks were exhibiting on Seth Jones, but I think some of that was warranted at times. I don't think the amount that he got was totally justified. I think this was, like you said, a very weird scenario for him to walk into because he came to Chicago thinking, oh yeah, like this year we'll probably try and make a playoff run. And in fact, it was off-ice scandal. It was terrible results, a head coach firing, a front office change.
That traded for you was gone.
It was just everything that just, you know, he started with an uphill battle, and I don't think that was something that maybe he expected. And I think for the majority of the season, he was the Seth Jones that we were expecting him to be. And I think there's really not much more that I would have expected out of him. Like I said, other than, you know, maybe a few more goals next season would be great. But I think he played the role that he was supposed to. And yeah, that's how I saw his season.
Yeah, I gave him the 3 feathers as well. You know, but don't worry, he scored a power play goal in the World Championships against Latvia. So
the first game.
So he's figured that out.
Off the back.
He's figured that out. He's going to score 32 power play goals next season,
that's
my
exactly
friends.
Right.
That'd be great.
I gave him the 3 feathers because, much as like Mario said, he was pretty much nearly the player I expected to see out there. I spent half the season just arguing with people on Twitter that just want to rag on the guy for what was given up to get him and what he signed for. None of that has anything to do with how he plays or his fault.
No.
He didn't, you know, yeah, he wanted to be traded out of Columbus, but can you blame him?
No.
So he didn't have the control over what, you know, anybody comes to you with that contract and you say, no, I'm not worth that money.
I'm not worth that much.
That is a bunch of crap. No, none of these people on Twitter, you know, various people, it wasn't one person. It was all season long.
Tons of people.
And people wanted to at me every time he was on the ice for a goal against. Okay, great. How about you point out all the good things he's done this year? Because he's done just as many good things as bad things. Yes, minus 37 looks terrible. But that's not the plus minus is the worst hockey stat out there.
You're also playing half the game on the worst defensive team in the league.
Nearly 27 minutes a game. Led the ice team in ice time by far. The next closest defenseman was Connor Murphy, and he was over 5 minutes fewer per game than Seth Jones.
That's crazy.
He was like fourth in the league overall.
Yeah,
defenseman.
He played all the time. He had different partners all season long.
Yeah.
As you said, beginning of the year, he tried to do way too much, and that's never a good thing. He got more comfortable, you know, and he was the number one defenseman. He was the best defenseman on this team. He is this team's number one defenseman going forward for years to come. Is he an elite defenseman? No, but he's definitely in that next group. You know, you got that top 5 or 6 defensemen, the guys that are in the Norris every year.
Right.
And then you got like the next 10. He's in the bottom half of that next 10, I think. top 15 maybe defenseman
in
the
league? I think so. Top 15, yeah. Top 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a number one defenseman, but he's a number one defenseman on a bad hockey team. So a number one defenseman on a bad hockey team's numbers aren't going to look as great as a Cale Makar.
Right.
Or Victor Hedman. You put Seth Jones on the Tampa Bay Lightning, those numbers are going to look a heck of a lot better.
Yes.
So they got exactly what they traded for. Did they give up too much for him?
Yes.
Yes. Did they pay him too much?
Yes.
Yes. Those are things that are not in his control, and those yes. are things we cannot change, and those are things we don't need to be bitching about anymore. He who shall not be named is no longer here. Let's move on, and let's enjoy the fact that the Blackhawks have a really good defenseman on their team.
Thank you. This is a podcast description disclaimer number two.
Yeah.
Is, yes, he's paid too much. Yes, they gave up too much to get him. However,
he's still a good player.
He's still damn good.
I enjoy the fact Seth Jones is a Chicago Blackhawk.
Me too, and you should too.
He's a good player and he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a really good player. And there's so many of those times during the course of a game, in which he's playing half of, where you see him do so many little things, to make a difference in a play, taking the puck away. He's big. He's fast. He's physical. He can defend. He can score. You know, you want to say like a five-tool guy. He is that mm-hmm. in hockey. And is he the best at any of them? No. But when you put the whole package together, yeah, top 15, top 20 guy. And the Hawks are definitely better for having Seth Jones in the fold right. than not. There's no doubt about that.
And, you know, moving forward, he's going to have a leadership role with yes. this team. And that's something that he, you know, he also brings to the table, and I think that that's something that through the back half of this season we started to see come out more from him, especially, you know, he was you know, always in front of the media. He had to, you know, for a guy in his first year with a team that had a lot of questions to answer, he was the one answering them, and he's, you know, he's going to be someone that, you know, in years to come is going to have to be in that role and you know, lead a young locker room. And it looks like that's something that he's probably had to come to terms with, but seems like he's okay with doing that.
And what do we hear all the time about teams that rebuild? You got to have these veteran leaders. You got to have these mentors.
It's true.
Who right. But when you look at the Blackhawks prospect pool right now, where are the best prospects at outside of Lucas Reichel? They're all defensemen. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get these young kids getting their first taste of NHL experience, watching how Seth Jones plays, watching how Seth Jones handles himself on and off the ice. It's pretty good if you ask me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him in a leadership role here. And I think the other thing we should say, too, is for anybody to walk into a locker room and there's Patrick Kane and there's Jonathan Toews, it's hard to want to just jump in and start leading.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, your leadership's there. Like, you've got a guy widely considered one of the best captains of all time, and Jonathan Toews there, whether he wants to be or not, is right. a different question. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a – it's hard for him to just go in there and start imposing his leadership will right away. As the season went on, he grew into it. He became more vocal after games. And I do expect – I don't know. Connor Murphy's future is something we're going to have to get into here too, because you want to talk about guys that can move with value? He's one of them. DeBrincat's going to have a letter.
Yep.
Kane will have a letter if he's here. Totally. Murphy will probably have a letter. If Toews is gone, I don't know. That's interesting. Because I wonder if they just do the old we don't have a captain thing for a while.
Maybe.
If they trade Toews.
Maybe, yeah. But I feel like, though, if we're in a scenario where Jonathan Toews isn't around, but Patrick Kane is still around, I mean, how hard would it be to not give Patrick Kane the captaincy, not only from a team leadership standpoint, but also from a business standpoint?
We already know. Derek King already told us the 2023 captain is going to be Reese Johnson. I mean, that debate is over. It's just a race for the A's at this point.
That's true. That's true.
That's right. I forgot about that. It's funny, though, because the Kane, I think about the Kane thing a lot, but he spent a lot of his career without a letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
well,
earned it.
When you're on a team with, you know, six other players that could be captains elsewhere.
Keith Seabrook, Sharp.
Yeah.
He's earned it. Who else wore letters? Hossa wore a letter.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. Sharp Hosa.
Shaw did, apparently, too.
Shaw did for a while.
And everybody else was hurt, probably.
Yeah. It was
here, put this on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and Keith, Seabrook,
and early
Sharp,
in his career, I would have gawked at the fact that you'd even give Kane an A.
Right.
But he's earned that, and he's really earned that this year, because we talked about it earlier with Taves and the way he handled the rebuild. Kane said all the right things. And did all the right things on the ice for the most part. So
yeah.
He's earned that. That's not a guy I would have thought as even in a captaincy discussion 4 or 5 years ago. And now, well, as you said, it's going to kind of be like a little, sorry, we're going to give it to somebody else.
Well, think about this too. Kane was named captain of Team USA at the World Championships a few years ago. He probably was going to be captain at the Olympics this year.
Probably,
Seth Jones is captain of Team USA at the World Championships right now. So, I mean, they're right there. All those guys are looked at as, you know, leaders in major
A's.
Roles.
Everybody gets a letter.
Everybody gets an A.
Everybody gets a letter. Wasn't it not either an A or C, but some sort of letter.
Didn't the Oilers a couple
R
years
R
ago?
What does R mean?
Was it the Oilers or the Leafs? I can't remember. Might have been the Leafs. They had like 6 alternate captains. Like, dude, you only get 2 of them. Like,
just don't make,
chill out.
Don't ever make your goalie captain. Don't do that. That's not good.
That's weird.
Leave that for college hockey.
Luongo on the Canucks.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen very often for a reason.
I think Cale Morris was the captain of Notre Dame for one of the years.
Yeah, it's college. That don't count.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
It must have been a Stan Bowman move. I'm sorry. Hey. He who shall not
he
be named.
He who shall not be named. Yes. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. We want to thank everybody for joining us. Remember, make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. Make sure anytime you see a CHGO Sports video on there live, you jump in, hit that like button. That really helps us. Make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast apps, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Stitcher. If it's a podcast app, we're on there. Everybody at CHGO Sports is on there. And become a member at allchgo.com. Yesterday, we published our Round 2 Stanley Cup playoff predictions. So those are out now. Go to allchgo.com to check those out. Got a lot more written content coming your way. And when you become a member there, that's the stuff you get. It's outstanding. It's not just the Blackhawks content for Mario, Greg, and I. It's Bulls, Bears, Cubs, Bears. Sox, Sky, Fire, Red Stars. Who am I missing? White Sox. It goes on and on and on. Yep. Every team in Chicago has coverage at allchgo.com. It is ad-free. You're not going to get pop-up ads. You're not going to get random audio playing somewhere.
Nope. So you can read it at work and not worry about some weird ad getting you in trouble with your boss.
Your screen's not going to jump on you as you're scrolling. It's a beautiful website. Functions perfectly. So get great written content from all the folks here at CHGO at allchgo.com. And remember, with that that $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet and that you see that code CHGO, you get a free membership. So make sure you do that. Jump on that PointsBet app. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000 and that free CHGO membership. Tomorrow, Thursday, is our first official Throwback Thursday show. We're going to focus on the current greatest Blackhawk of all time, Stan Mikita, who celebrates his birthday on Friday. So we'll talk to you Thursday on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast. Thanks to Joey for producing today.